Welcome to Rapid Roundup, a series where we take several games throughout the week, do mini critiques on them, and let you know what we think. Throughout all of this, my name is Moriarty.
And my name is Brax.
And this week, we'll be taking a look at Real Farm,
Lunch Truck Tycoon,
Bear With Me,
North.
Later on the week on Wednesday, we'll take a look at Boss Crushers, a roguelike dungeon crawler multiplayer thing. There's so much in this game. It's really, really cool. It's a lot of fun. If you like killing bosses, we'll have more for you then. Later on Friday, we're going to take a look at Sprint Vector VR. This is a racing game where they took out the cars, made it the best racing game in VR. It's incredibly cool, incredibly active, and I think you're going to like hearing about it. But for now,
let's round them up. Lunch Truck Tycoon is a business simulator game that allows you to start your own business, and you guessed it, you get to drive a lunch truck.
When they say drive a lunch truck, however, they really do mean that you're going to be driving a lunch truck around trying to find customers to sell to.
That's precisely it. The gameplay loop basically is drive around, park somewhere for a few minutes, sell some stuff out of your truck until you run out of stock, and then you will go and refill your truck with more food and then do the same thing, come back and sell to more customers.
This is, however, a really, really confusingly built and, quite frankly, ugly game that is 95% tutorial and very little actual gameplay. It's not fair to call this a tycoon game.
I agree with that, and the tutorial was the biggest problem I had with it, because I'm not sure the tutorial ever ends. I mean, it does technically, but it just takes forever. And the first hour or two that you're going to be playing this game, it's simply, you need to drive here. Okay, now drive here. Now drive there. And it doesn't really tell you why. You don't really feel like you are a tycoon of any sort. It reminded me of, in the Grand Theft Auto games, especially the older ones like Vice City or San Andreas, it allows you to drive as a taxi cab, or you can take the police officer side missions. And some of them are actually running an ice cream truck. It's kind of like that very small portion of that game just put into one single game. And I found it disappointing because graphically it's very bad, and like you said, for it to be a tycoon game, I didn't really feel like much of a tycoon.
You're definitely not building an empire. There's no management here. You are just following prompts to drive from one location to another, and then you are randomly going out, and everybody is a customer. It doesn't really matter where you go. If you stop your car, every person around you will just walk over and buy stuff from you. There's no real business management here. All you're doing is going, stocking up, going out, selling it. Now, there's some management of prices and some management of menu items and things like that, but people buy everything, and the menu items are all gathered through various challenges that you have to complete, and once you've completed them, then you get that new menu item, which you can sell for slightly more. But still, it's not a business management game.
It really isn't, and like you said, you can't build an empire. It also doesn't feel very good to get the upgrades. You can upgrade your truck. It doesn't feel very rewarding, though, and it doesn't feel like, oh man, I'm the best lunch truck operator in town. I never got that feeling out of it, and it doesn't drive well. Like, this game just isn't doing anything well. Everything about the game is either bad or mediocre. It is only 99 cents, but even at that price, I don't think I can recommend it.
I also can't recommend it, even though I feel like there is a potential game here, because yeah, it would be cool to run a fleet of lunch trucks in a city and try to take over territory from other lunch trucks and try to have the best whatever. It focuses too much on how much you're going to charge for a ham sandwich as opposed to actually running your business. Bear With Me is a old-timey, black-and-white, film noir, detective, adventure, point-and-click thing.
That's a lot of stuff, most of which I enjoy, especially the aesthetic that you're talking about with the film noir and the black-and-white. It all looks really cool, but sometimes I don't enjoy point-and-click games. There have been times that I really enjoy them, but there's other times where I'm just like, man, this one's not done as well.
This is a game that's been on my wish list. I've been looking at it for a long time, and when it showed up in my email, I kind of got giddy. I was like, oh boy, I get to play it! And it's so much incredibly cool fun. This game has absolutely no reverence whatsoever when it comes to pop culture and things like that. There are references to CSI, there's references to Resident Evil, there's references to Half-Life, there's references to all sorts of pop culture, and it's sarcastic, it references adventure games, it has no reverence whatsoever. It is hilarious, and that's what's fun about this game. It's not so much that point-and-click is revolutionary by any means. It's hilarious. The fact that you have these Goombas that are just caricatures of James Cagney, and, like, they are so ridiculous. They are ridiculous caricatures, and they're funny. The fact that you've got all this stuff, and the characters will talk and break the fourth wall all of the time, it's great. On top of that, they try to layer that into a horror backstory, and it's just, it's beautifully done. I really, really enjoyed it.
I absolutely love Easter eggs in video games, and with you saying that it also has that comedic element as well, I think it would be super, to be honest. I also like the fact that even though it is this black and white kind of more serious in tone art style, that they're not taking themselves too seriously. Like, that kind of catches me off guard that you say that, but it also sounds really neat, and any game that I can get a few laughs out of as I play through it is always a plus for me. How much does this game cost?
So you can go ahead and you can play the first episode for free. It's completely free, and I recommend that you do that just because it's funny. One of the funniest things that you're going to see is when you go to the save point and it says, no, we don't save. What is this, Resident Evil? We have autosave. That's funny.
That's great. So that's a small little dose of what we can expect out of the rest of it. I like it, man.
It's funny. If you decide that you want to get the other chapters, because it is an episodic game, you can do the collector's edition. I mean, really, it's just the next two chapters. You can do that for $10.
That seems fair to me, especially considering I can go out there, play the first chapter, see if I enjoy that, and if I do, maybe drop $10 on some more gameplay out of this one. So I absolutely am interested, and I think it would be a really good idea to check this one out.
The collector's edition also comes with things like the soundtrack and a digital art book and the script and design documents and stuff like that. So it's really a full-fledged collector's edition, and it's the same price as buying the two chapters separately. So I think that's a really, really awesome approach. And they gave you exactly what you're looking for. Additionally, it's so funny. If nothing else, just go play the first chapter. It's free. It will only take you about 2 hours to get through. The full game is maybe 7 to 10 hours, just depending on how quickly you read.
I know how to read, so I can play the game. North is a very strange cyberpunk sort of vibe game that has these really weird creatures, and your goal is to gain asylum in this place that you have moved to. The only way you understand anything about the story is by going to the mailbox after you've explored a new area. So you might go into a church, you might go into the place that you work at, your little apartment type thing that you live in, and each time you do that, you can walk back to the mailbox and it explains more about why you were living here, but at the same time, that doesn't really clarify anything for me as far as why I should feel like this story is important. I will say that it has a very unique atmosphere, and it feels really dark and kind of spooky in a lot of ways because of the art that you will find laying around and these really creepy paintings. And apparently it's something to do with being spotted by security cameras before you can be converted at the church. I feel like it's almost like there's some sort of cult type thing going on here. And in order for your character to gain asylum as a refugee, he has to become a part of that really strange cult full of these alien looking creatures.
This is a title that going into and looking for the story and the underlying meaning is not necessarily what you're meant to do. This is very much, from my understanding, an art school style experiment, a short movie, an interactive experience, way more than it is gameplay.
That is a very good point to make, simply because you spend most of your time walking around and experiencing things. Now, when you go into the place that you work, there is some gameplay stuff where you have to hit a jackhammer and grab a stone and do that 3 times. And the way that you find out what you were supposed to be doing in that way is, again, in these letters from this guy to his sister, I believe it is, that he drops into the mailbox to let her know what's going on. So without those letters, you will have no clue how to play this game or what you are supposed to be doing. I want to make that very clear, because if players don't understand that, you're really going to spend your time walking around just looking at things and wondering, what am I supposed to be doing right now?
Yeah, and that's the thing. This is very much a game that you're supposed to wander around and look at things. And to its credit, it has incredible, incredible aesthetics. The graphics, the art style, the things that you're looking at, they're very, very interesting. They're very pretty. They definitely have that artistic aesthetic appeal. And that is probably the thing that they focused on the most, is to give you certain scenes and certain set pieces that you look at and you go, that's cool, I really like that. I'm not so sure that you're going to be playing this game, picking it up, because of the incredible gameplay or the incredible story. But on the plus side, this is only a 20, 30, 40 minute long experience.
I've seen some people say it's an hour long experience. I mean, maybe you could get an hour out of it. It is a very creative title. I'll give them that. Is it worth experiencing? Maybe, simply because of the price tag on it, although that does vary from platform to platform.
Which is very strange. This game has a price tag of $5 on the Xbox, it has a price tag of $3 on the PlayStation and the Switch, and then $2 on Steam. At the $2 price point, I think this is worth picking up. At $5, I'm not so sure.
I agree. I played it on the PS4, and for $3, I think it's worth that, sure, simply because it is cool to look at, right? It is a nice little experience, and for $3, that's not much to ask. It's just really not worth much more than that to me. So I don't understand why it costs more on the Xbox, but if you're an Xbox owner, I don't think it's worth $5. If you have a PC, definitely pick it up for $2. And if you have a Switch or a PS4, I guess I can go ahead and recommend it for $3. You're not going to get a lot of time out of it, but it is a really neat, creative, artistic game. Real Farm is a farming simulator that unfortunately doesn't do anything that I've never seen in a farming simulator before, particularly the farming simulator franchise from Giant Software, something I've put hundreds of hours in. Before I get to the bad, I will say I think this game is graphically impressive, and it might even be prettier than Farm Sim in certain ways. Unfortunately, the controls are really bad in this game. I really needed it to be better. I don't like using a wheel in order to select equipment and lower the equipment, unfold it, whether it be a cultivator or a plow, whatever it might be. It's just not very intuitive in terms of its controls. I also do not like the way that hiring workers is in this game, because in Farm Sim, if you hire a worker, which is the only way to be productive if you play by yourself, then you get to see them and track their progress, etc. In this game, they absolutely disappear. If you hire a worker, you don't even get to see your equipment at work. And the equipment, unfortunately, is all very generic. There are no real name brands in this game. So if you are one of those people that identify with certain brands of equipment, that isn't here for you. All in all, I feel like Real Farm is just a worse version of Farming Simulator.
I don't feel like I have a whole lot to say about this because I never played Farming Simulator, and the very concept of playing a farming simulator, all that does is bring back Farmville to me. However, I will say that I understand people really enjoy it. I mean, Trucking Simulator and Euro Truck Simulator and Train Simulator and all that kind of stuff has massive appeal to people. I just don't get it myself. What would make me play this if I'm not into it in the beginning?
The ability to grow and expand your farm and improve your equipment. Like, you enjoy the idea of building empires. Well, you can build a farming empire. And this game sort of has that. I will say that their job system is absolutely required in order to get your first few pieces of equipment. So it's a really long, drawn-out, extended tutorial. And I feel like that whole idea of job system was stolen from Farming Simulator, because that's what they introduced in 17 as one of their newest things. But in Farm Sim, the jobs are just a way for you to make money on the side to help grow your own farm and be able to buy land for cheaper prices. In this, it's absolutely forced upon you, and it takes a while for you to start feeling ownership of what you're doing in this game. For that reason, I don't enjoy the amount of freedom that you feel in this game. it really does feel more like you are doing jobs for other people. That changes over time. By the time you get into the later parts of the game, it isn't that way anymore. But it's a really bad experience for the first few hours that you're going to play it. And because of that, I can't recommend it, certainly considering the price that they're asking for it.
And what is that price?
$25 on Steam, and even worse, $40 on the PS4. I can't imagine in any way how I would recommend this game for $40. And I also don't understand how I would ever recommend it on Steam when you can get Farming Simulator, which is a better game, for only $5 more. And I see Farm Sim go on sale quite often as well. I also don't know if this game has mod support, and with the lack of brand names in the game, that's an absolute must. Mod support is what makes Farm Sim so freaking awesome. So this game absolutely needs that, and if it does, I guess it could be a better experience. But again, there's no way that I'm going to recommend this over Farming Simulator, and I think it's overpriced.
One of the things that Farming Sim has that this doesn't, that I personally look at and go, hey, that might actually be interesting, is it has co-op, it has multiplayer, it has cross-platform multiplayer, which isn't something that you see very often. But this one doesn't. This is a single-player only game.
Running a farm together with other people is one of the only ways in Farming Simulator that you can effectively manage the entire map. To do it by yourself is really hard, which is related to what I said about the ability to hire workers in Farm Sim. You can do that in real farm, but it isn't as fun because you can't actually see them. It feels really dumbed down in that regard. So even though this doesn't have multiplayer, which is already bad, I don't like the way that you hire workers in this game in comparison to Farm Sim. So it's a better single player and multiplayer experience.
Valve. Steam. The most important games company that exists. It's arguable to say that it is the most important company in the gaming industry, not because of the games that it makes, though they have all been pretty influential. No. But because it owns Steam, and Steam is where all the games live. If you put your game onto the Windows Store, nobody's going to buy it. If you put your game onto Uplay, people are going to think you're installing a virus on their computer. If you put your game onto Origin, people are going to bitch that it's not on Steam.
All of the above are true in my experience. I don't like Uplay, so I stopped playing The Division. I don't use the Windows Store, and I will not begin anytime soon. And I used to have Origin access, simply because they had quite a few games on there that you get just by being a member. I don't mind Origin as much as the others, but either way, just put the games on Steam, you know?
Well, in surprise after surprise, Gabe Newell has said that they are actually a games company.
Ooh, oh my god! What exactly does that mean? Tell me more.
Gabe Newell is... obviously announced Artifact, which is the Dota 2 card game that everybody booed when it was announced. And they've also said that they're working on a couple of different VR games. They announced that they will be producing 3 new VR titles. I mean, I don't want to give a date because it's Valve time. It doesn't really matter what they say, but they're saying that they're a games company now. But what's most interesting to me is that Gabe Newell said that they were jealous of Nintendo, because Nintendo was able to build games with hardware in mind. They were building the hardware and they were building the games. And because of that, they were able to say, you know, this would be a cool feature in my game. And then they added it to the hardware. That's where we got things for the Wii. That's where we got things for the Switch. It's where we got things for the Game Boy and all of that. This is the thing that he says he's the most jealous of. Now, one of the interesting things is that Gabe Newell has also told us that they now have enough experience in robotics and enough experience in engineering to produce anything that they could possibly want to build. They've already done the Steam controller, which is pretty good, and they've done the Steam Link, and they obviously designed the Vive. So now they've got so much experience with designing and engineering and robotics that they can make anything. So it kind of makes me wonder, is Steam going to come out with something that they're going to produce specific games for? That they're going to build games around and finally have those must-have VR titles. Because Newell is all about VR now.
That is a very interesting idea. I could see it. A Steam headset. What would that mean for Vive and Oculus support, I wonder?
The Vive and most Microsoft headsets run on Steam VR. So it's already out there for that. In fact, if they were to produce a new headset, which I don't think they are. I don't think they're producing a new headset. If they were to produce a new headset, it would just be another Steam headset. What I think they're doing is they're talking about the Knuckle controller that we've seen occasionally, which is a new type of controller, sort of similar to the Oculus Touch and completely different from the Move. And I think they're talking about games that are actually going to use all of your fingers. So you'll be able to grab things with your fingers.
That would be super cool. What are those things called where they run the wires all over the person's body to track them and then put them in video games? You know what I'm talking about?
Motion capture?
Like motion capture. Imagine that in VR and it would actually work. And what if there was a VR game where you were a computer hacker and you actually use your fingers? Or imagine actually getting to shoot a gun with, you know, using all of your fingers and use your index finger to actually pull the trigger in VR. That would be freaking amazing. I'm getting jealous, though, because I guess I'll just have to buy a better headset because PSVRs, they're not going to have controllers like that.
No, they're not. But that's okay. PSVR has its good purposes, which is it's inexpensive and people already have a PlayStation, so it's a nice add-on, as opposed to having a gaming rig and additionally buying a $1,000 headset.
Yeah, but it's so much better, man. It's like, oh, well, I'm glad Honda Civics exist. Well, that doesn't mean I don't want a Ferrari. I mean, you know?
But you should be happy that the Honda Civic exists and that they're not only Bugattis, because then you're not driving anywhere.
Says the Bugatti owner. Shut up, dude.
Not the point. All I'm saying is that I'm very excited about the concept of Valve making games again, because every game they've ever made, I have found to be incredibly good. Half-Life, Half-Life 2, Episode 1 and 2, Left 4 Dead, Left 4 Dead 2, even though, yes, they didn't actually make Left 4 Dead, it was Turtle Rock, but still Left 4 Dead 2, Team Fortress, Counter-Strike, Portal, Portal 2, every game they've made has been incredibly good. And if they're going to start making games again, if they are a games company again, and not just Steam, that is an exciting thing to hear about.
It also might mean a new Counter-Strike, and sorry, man, I guess you're just gonna lose all the value in those nice fancy skins you have there.
It's never gonna happen. It would be dumb.
Maybe not.
What do you think, guys? Do you think that they're producing something along the lines of the Knuckles, or are they maybe going to produce like a console or maybe a handheld? What do you think this means when Newell says that they are jealous of Nintendo's ability to produce games around hardware while producing hardware around those games? It's very exciting to think about. What do you think it could mean? Also, are you maybe excited for Artifact? I mean, it's not going to be pay to win. It's not going to be free either. So you're going to pay $5 and actually have the game. Think of it a little bit like Gwent, maybe? I'm not sure. It still sounds interesting. Let us know down below. As usual, if you like this video, please give it a like and share it. And if you don't, then don't do either of those. But if you did, you can watch another video up there in the corner. And as always,
we'll see you guys on the next one.